Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Today is the 22nd of January in 2021, our second intern show for the year, where we come together once a week to discuss the principles of Think and Grow Rich. Today we have interns from the past and the present. I am Sharnay Davis, the creative director of Abra and Company Creative Consulting, and a recent 2020 graduate from the illustrious Clark Atlanta University with a BA in fashion design. We have some other interns online, if you guys don't mind introducing yourselves. We'll just give them a minute. It's pretty early, so we'll give them a moment, and then we'll begin with our introductions, and then we'll continue with our show. So just hold tight. Thank you for your patience.
I'm sorry, you didn't hear us. We kind of introduced ourselves already. Hi, I'm Taylor. I'm one of the MCO interns starting this summer 2020. I'm a junior at FIU for accounting, and this is Ajwa.
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's Ajwa. I'm a recent graduate from Florida International University with a degree in construction management and a minor in marketing, and I also work at MCO Construction. I'm an intern right now.
Okay, good morning, ladies. I hope you had a great week. As well as our current interns, we have a past intern that is on the call with us. Lloyd, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know if you guys can hear me, though.
It's kind of sounding like it's muted. Like, it sounds like everybody's phone is muted on my end.
Unless you're on the background studio to open everyone's mics, then everyone comes on muted. But I unmuted everyone, so we're fine.
Thank you. Good morning, Lloyd. Do you mind giving us an introduction of your name, the year you interned, you're attending college, and your major?
Hello. You guys can hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm Lloyd Beecham, Florida Memorial University, 2017, graduate biology major. That's the year term of Ms. McNeil. I currently work at Pepsi right now. I'm a manager.
That's lit.
Okay. Well, it's good for you. We're grateful that you're here. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come and speak with us. So what chapter or what principle of Think and Grow Rich resonated with you the most?
I would say faith. The unit we're talking about, I'm big on faith. Like, I'm big on, like, you got to believe in, like, what you want, like, you get out there in the universe, like, you pray for it, you believe for it, and you gonna get it. Like, you gotta work for it, like, faith without work is dead, but you gonna, like, it might not come when you need it, like, when you most, like, when you think you wanna need it, like, but it's gonna, like, at the perfect time, like, God, timing is perfect, like, everything happens for a reason, so... So I believe, like, faith is, like, that's a big one with me.
Well, that's perfect because for our listeners, that's actually the chapter that we're covering today. And if y'all missed last week's show, you missed the humble and the determined Kumari Thompson, who is a past intern as well, who is currently in nursing school. She emphasized the importance of the desire chapter and the fact that one should be open to change, enjoy the process, and to not expect consistency. So, this week, we're going to tackle the elephant in the room, faith. I'm going to begin by asking all of our hosts, what does Napoleon Hill define faith as?
Well, Napoleon Hill defines faith as the head chemist. So, it's a key ingredient to turning the vibration of thought into a spiritual which is Infinite Intelligence. And if you have listened to us prior or later throughout the year, when we get to the chapter for Infinite Intelligence, you'll truly understand how important it is to have something regarding faith and how to strengthen it and how well it works with Infinite Intelligence. Because without it, it kind of like hinders learning what your desire is into its physical equivalent.
So basically, he's saying that faith is belief.
Sometimes faith can be a belief system. Or is it?
Okay.
And then, Lloyd, I have a question for you. If you do hold faith, what practices do you do to strengthen it?
Even with the faith in myself, my religious faith, say faith in myself, to strengthen it, I just, try to reassure myself, goals, I'm meeting my goals, and, just to be more, sometimes just having to sit back and just, observation and give myself, be, a tough critic on myself and, do that, or, with my faith, reading my Bible more, going to church and trying to do more, getting more involved.
Yeah, so, it's all in repetition, and it's all in practice, and it's all in, reaffirmation, and that's exactly how Napoleon Hill describes on how to strengthen faith in his terms. One key word he uses is auto-suggestion. So the more, like you said, you keep yourself positive and light, the more your brain starts to believe it. You start to put it outward, physically and mentally. And then it also comes into a repetition. So reading your Bible, putting good words, good thought into your brain every day, maybe not every day, probably a good moon, will lead to a positive equivalent. And that's one thing that we take this chapter, and even any faith or religion practice that I've ever seen, most of them meet their goals or meet their spiritual equivalent through repetition, through daily prayer. That's pretty.
No, that's true, because repetition is definitely the mother skill, and it makes me think about in the book where he was talking about a famous criminology. He stated that when a man first comes into crime, they are disgusted by it. But if they remain in contact with it for some time, they kind of become accustomed to it and adore it when they finally embrace it. And then they're also influenced by it. So it's kind of like the more you do something, the more you watch something, the more you feel something, you kind of become it, you know? And that's when the book begins to uncover the root of our faith, by saying that all thoughts which have been given feelings and are mixed with faith begin immediately to translate themselves in the physical.
Because I think we discussed about this earlier, when you put the main word in this book is to think. A lot of us tend to act without thinking, and I think this book teaches you to take a step back, look at what you're doing, think about it. And not also think about what you're doing, but also think about how you're doing it. I feel like this book gives you the leeway or the plan to sit and think about stuff. Because if you think about it positively, 9 times out of 10, come into the equivalent. Or it'll be in the back of your subconscious mind to translate it into anything that you want. If you think about negative stuff all the time, that's all that's going to happen. If you think about positive stuff all the time, then it will happen. So in this book, he lets us know that we are the creator of our misfortunes and fortunes. So, Lloyd, I have a question for you. After Miss Anne introduced you to the book and after reading the book, how did you feel or respond to this chapter? Did you ever look at your faith in a different light, or the things that you do to strengthen your faith in a different light?
It took me a while to actually read the book after Mr. McNeil introduced it to me. So it was far after I really, like, I had to read it for, like, a second time. But I, like, play read it, like, when I was in school, like, I was reading it, but you, like, didn't, what's the name? But, like, when I got out of school and I, like, read it, like, I had to, like, reapply, like, some of the principles, like, it had, and, like, I used to, like, write notes and stuff like that. And, like, even, like, with the self-confidence formula, like, I have it, like, the principles and that, just, like, just knowing you can make stuff and believing in yourself, like, stuff like that.
That's funny, though.
That we're not taught, but it's really nice someone introduces you to it. The self-confidence is something that I have been trying to get into for a long time, but I haven't done it yet. But I feel like being introduced to this chapter, even if you don't take everything to heart or make, like, complete changes, the absolute effect of you just even seeing it one time and then having that one thought impulse of, like, could I do something different to do something better is really good.
No, that's funny, because that's the same way that I kind of approached it. Like, I kind of picked it up and I kind of put it down and was kind of play reading it too. Like, okay, this is too much. Or I kind of felt like intimidated by it. But yeah, you're 100% right, Taylor. You could just pick and choose, you know, what's necessary for you. But even going back to repetition, like the more you kind of read it and even like reading this chapter over and over, that kind of helps it, you know, sink more to it. But going off of what you were saying, Lloyd, about the self-confidence formula, Napoleon Hill kind of had an idea that self-confidence is the greatest weakness. And that, like, really stuck out to me. And it kind of just breaks down that he understood how powerful being confident can be. And he basically did us a favor and created a formula for us to use to be more mindful and to be more intentional. And so exactly what you were saying, Lloyd, the self-confidence formula is five steps that define your ability, what you will devote yourself to, and your desire, and what you're willing to do as well. I believe that that's really important, especially just kind of having an action plan, and again, with the repetition, kind of reminding yourself consistently of everything that you desire. So my question for both Taylor and Lloyd, and Ajua as well, whoever wants to go first, when you got to this chapter, did you stick to the formula within the book or did you create your own? And if you did or if you didn't, why?
I like to freestyle. So I mean, I'm working on following and sticking to, you know, a formula. But for this chapter, like Taylor said, you know, you take what you can from it. Like, you dissect what applies to you, and you, like, you try to educate yourself and, like, give yourself perspective on, like, things that you want pertaining to, like, faith and how you do life. So, yeah, I kind of just apply as I go, basically.
I would say I do the same thing, but when it comes to faith, I don't have a faith system. I tend to believe in, like, spirits and, like, energy in the world. So, like, when it comes to me and faith, it's just, like, positivity is key at the end of the day. And then when it came to self-confidence from it, I probably did it, like, a couple times, but I've never been persistent. And, like, the book tells you, nothing will happen with impersistence. So we're working on that slowly but surely.
Yeah.
What about you, man?
Me, per se, I feel like self-confidence thing, I always felt like I always been a real confident person. Like, I always believed in myself. Like, even though, like, when I first met Miss McNeil, I met Neil through, like, the billionaire scholarship. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a billionaire one day, so let me go be in this. And then, like, and Miss McNeil, that's why I still got Miss McNeil, because I always had, like, a real confidence in self that, like, I want to be wealthy. Like, so, but the faith, like, I always, like, the faith part, like, that, because, like, I believe in my faith, like, because that's pretty much big. I know God got me through a lot of stuff. So, like, I believe, like, and so it was just, like, I read it, or it was just, like, I just, like, applied the principles that I was, like, going through in my life. So it was just, like, trying to use that with the stuff I was going through a little. It kind of, like, helped me, like, a little bit mm-hmm. in that category. Like,
wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit of both of y'all. I kind of freestyled, but I kind of stuck with it when it came to the persistence. But I didn't really 100% like the verbiage that he put, so I wanted to make it more personal to me so I can just kind of remind myself of my strengths so I can build upon those. So I definitely, that resonated with me. And just even going further into that, he basically stated in the book that it is a known fact that the emotion of love is closely akin to the state of mind known as faith. So do y'all believe in that? Like, do you think faith and love is kind of synonymous? And why?
I've never heard those two things be compared before the book.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's just a deep... Yeah, that's all it is. It's like
an
emotion
to have. I believe that you kind of relate, like, if you have faith in somebody, like, you don't have faith in somebody without love, a love for them, to me. Like, I'm not going to give nobody my good faith without, like, trust or love for them. Like, that's just me. So I feel like it's really...
Yeah, I never thought of it like that. But once he brought it to my attention, I was like, okay, like, they both kind of have similar emotions to it. It's like when you believe something, when you have faith, you kind of, you're all in. But when you love someone too, you're kind of all in too. It's just like, despite whatever happens, despite what you do, I love you. And even with the faith, it's just like, I have this faith, I believe this. It is nothing no one's going to tell me. I know this is true. So I never kind of looked at it that way, but I thought that was kind of a dope comparison.
Yeah, because to Napoleon Hill, faith is something that looks weird or can't truly be understood until someone exercises it in repetition. So, like, people who see other people praying to Jesus Christ and having things happen to them may think they see it as a miracle. Like, as he explains, it may seem like a miracle, but it really is just a culmination of, like, reading the book, understanding what's being said, and then a repetition in prayer to bring what you wanted to a physical equivalent because you had faith in such and such. So to him, it works. It doesn't matter who you work or who you pray to or what you have faith in. If you have kind of like that repetition of trust and that emotion of love, everything should be straight.
I really respected the fact that he broke down, like, the term miracle when it came to Jesus Christ, because that was, even just reading the Bible, that word was used consistently. And it was, to other people, it looked like it was a miracle. But when you have faith, like, it's not really a miracle. It's just your faith actually working. So, you know, and because faith to other people who aren't really faithful, it does look unusual, and it is kind of unorthodox. And within the book, it expresses that unknown people who work in coal mines and steel plants and even those who live in small cities, they'll become leaders because of their faith. So the people that look unusual, the people that you would never think, will become leaders in the future because they believe in who they are, who they pray to, and the things that make them up. And within the past, business was based on mixing fear, and now it's mixing faith and cooperation within business as well. The new leaders in business, they value humans more. They value happiness and contentment, which is kind of what the book was expressing. And
younger generation is different from the older generation because our values have changed, so the way we do certain things changes. Like, back then it was mostly about like making it or surviving in the economy. So now if kids of our age or like people of this generation will not do anything unless it fulfills them emotionally or happily. And if they do it because they need to, it won't last long.
No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. Our values are shifting because our needs are shifting. And even just going off of that, now because our needs are shifting, everyone will be able to win and to profit off of this approach rather than just having, like, this getting and not willing to give approach. So,
yeah. So it's like, because we're coming to the end and we're coming to a close, as a conversation, it's kind of like what he really tries to end into in the end of the chapter or coming towards the end of the chapter is we talked about desire. So you have an idea that you want to attain, but if you don't believe in that idea and then you don't repeatedly go for that idea, then it's worth nothing at the end of the day. And then he teaches you to take that idea and to take certain principles and certain practices to strengthen, to make it into a physical equivalent, whether it is mentally preparing for the idea or physically preparing for the idea. He tries to get you in multiple steps into chasing a desire and fulfilling that desire. So to close out with, Lloyd, I'm going to ask you one more question. What would be one piece of advice for someone who's about to start reading Think Grow Rich but doesn't know how to start? Because we all know that when we first read it, we kind of like looked at the first chapter and then like put it down for like a week and then picked it up back one day.
My advice would be come into it with an open mind, take notes, like actually try to apply, even if you're going to put it down, just try to apply the stuff that you read into your life and see if make a difference. Like, just apply some of the principles out of the book and see if you get a change. Like just come into the book like with a mindset, like don't come up just thinking like, oh, like don't, I can't like describe it, because like when I first started reading the book, it was just like, yeah, like, but it's like I'm reading the book, like I'm like not getting out like what I was supposed to be getting out, like as I went over and reread. Like, I was just reading to read. Like, don't go in there just to read. Like, read, go in and get something out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because coming through with open heart, open mind, and, like, open body is just, it's important. Because when I read it, I was like, when I first started reading it, it was like, dog, I'm being forced to read it. Now it's like, maybe I should read it. And then I've seen changes since I first read you guys. But I've seen changes mentally, physically, since then. Pretty good.
Same here. Yeah, when I first started reading the book, I was like, why am I being forced to read this book, you know? But as you go along, I was just talking on one of Anne's other shows that she has, which is, it's the same one, it's a Think and Grow Rich accountability call on Friday mornings. And I was just letting them know, like, you know, I've learned so much by like reading this book so far, and I'm only on like the 7th chapter in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time you go back to it, you find some. It's like, okay, I don't know if people read the Bible often, but just like, go back and discover something new that applies to you in that type of way.
So it's like,
That's called, I believe that's called revelation. Like just having something uncovered to you, having something revealed to you that you didn't really, you know, you didn't really see, or maybe even at that time you wasn't. I know Miss Ann always says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So maybe you wasn't ready to truly understand what you were reading, or you wasn't open to it. So, you know, now that you're in a different place.
I had a mental block. I was like, I felt like I was like Taylor said, like forced. But then after a while, you know, like you see like how these things really apply to real life,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, we have come to the end of our blog talk, and I just want to thank you, Lori, for taking time out of your day to speak with us and to express to our listeners your experience with the book Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, no problem. It was nice having a conversation with you guys today. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, wait. I forgot. Because, you know, I always have to end the chapter off with, like, one line from the book. Hold up. I'll find it. Give me 2 seconds. I know I have too much. My other book.
If you don't have it, I have one.
Well, go ahead then.
Okay. So it's literally on the last page before it goes into the next chapter. And it says, there are no limitations to the mind except those we acknowledge. And that's a word. That's just a word right there.
Period. All righty. Well, thank you guys. So.
Thank you guys for joining in. And make sure you be here bright and early next Friday for our next chapter, which we will be covering auto-suggestion. Thank you, and be safe.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.